Board Commissioner, Board Council is now in session. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance. Marty! Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I have an amendment to the agenda.
We can't change the agenda because this is a special meeting.
It's a special meeting. Oh, it's a special meeting. You can't change the agenda. No. Darn.
Hey, Frank, we're here.
Okay, never mind then.
I move we approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Public comments. Bertram Levy.
Before I start, let me just say that I really want to thank TJ and Christian and the staff over there for getting me situated in my new boat. They were so helpful moving me around until I got a good spot. And kudos to them.
Good.
Really great. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the yard rates that you're going to be addressing today. There's two things which I'd like to talk about. One is, I think you really need to put an effort to study the population that comes into the yard. I've proposed this in the past, and I did ask Shannon, and they do keep records of if everybody comes, when they come, if they come every year, every other year, every third year. And as I've told you in the past, that with the 3-year bottom paints in Europe thing, you're going to have cycles. So, but nobody's collating that data. But the data is in there. They have the count numbers. So I would urge you to, maybe when the yards are slow or something, get somebody to pull that data out and see if you got 3-year cycle people and 2-year cycle people. Then you can offer an incentive, like a free washdown if they do a second year. This is the way you build a business, by studying the patrons that come in. So I would really urge you to do that. The data is there. You just need to extract it. So that's the first thing. And I think that'll make a big difference in you. The second thing is the electricity. We've had this discussion before at Gwendolyn's about if you impose a $5 charge for electricity, those kind of draconian measures really grate on people and they don't reflect well. There are methods. There's a plug-in. Chris was telling us about Sanic, I think, that measures kilowatt hours. Each person could get a plug-in, and then they measure that and then charge them for the kilowatt hours they use. Or maybe you have to do something like do the wiring like we do on the docks to measure the kilowatt hours. Because it's not fair to people like, say, myself, who use the sander the first day, and after that I just use the vacuum to vacuum up my yard work so it's clear for following the guidelines. It's not fair to do that. If a person's out, it grates on people. So there are ways to recoup that electricity without having a draconian measure like $5. It really does affect people. You know, when they built the new A docks and they were wider, 2 feet wider than the old docks, instead of charging more for that, they charge a foot less for them and a foot more for the CD docks. And it grated on the people in the CD docks because, well, everybody likes to be treated fairly. So I think from the perception, you can recoup all your money by making an effort to find out a way to get recoup your electrical charges by measuring them rather than draconian charges.
Thank you for coming. Pam.
Hello, I'm Pam Petroni, 370 Middle Point Road. I want to talk to you about last year's empty boat yard and this year's full boat yard and all of the things that we've done to create a full boat yard this year. There's some observations and some facts about the seasonal yard rates that you're proposing, or that and that have been in effect. At the Port Commissioners meeting of July 10th, staff handed out this worksheet titled Work Yard Promotional Revenue Expenses Breakdown. And this worksheet shows that we lost $26,957 for those seasonal rates. And then staff discussed raising the rates from 35 to 45 cents, plus adding electrical fees. That was all at the July 10th meeting. And I'm having a really hard time looking at this worksheet and then comparing it to the port financials, which have shown for quite a while that we've had huge gains, revenue, accolades about our boatyard. So port financials and worksheet, huge discrepancy. And you know, I've been concerned about yard rates for years. I started my public speaking years ago, focused on let's get the yard rates under control. I've been interviewed on KPTZ, and they titled it Boatyard Blues. There's been a huge amount of effort and time by 20-some people, experts, who put together almost 100-page boatyard study, comparison study, so that we could turn this whole thing around and fill up the boatyard to improve port revenue and marine trades revenue, and then the effect upon the whole community. So I'm asking you, Ben, and also we did an economic impact study to show the value of when our marine trades does well, our whole community does well. So I'm asking you to consider the impact of a full boatyard, the seasonal rates that were successful, and to be able to keep that stability and keep those same rates for this year, plus the CPI that we agreed upon. So last May, May, when we agreed upon the seasonal rates, the marine trades and the port, we had so many meetings, and we set the seasonal rate of 35 cents. We also added an adjustment of CPI. So being able to add that to this year as agreed upon. We've got boats that know what the seasonal rates were. They're out fishing now. When they come back, it would be nice to continue the trust and the success that we built this past year.
Okay, can you wrap up maybe soon with that?
I think that's it. I just ask you to keep things stable.
I think when we had a meeting last time here, I asked that if you could find some data from the trades about what their...
The economic study, impact study shows that when the boats are here and the businesses are doing well, it affects our whole town.
No, I know. I understand that. What I'm asking is from last year to this year, in that period when we had the discounts, what I'm looking for is I'm great with keeping the yard full and keeping the trades working. I think that's really important, and that's really, I think, the reason that we instituted this discount rate. But if that's not what's happening, if we're not getting the increase in work in the yard.
Oh, we definitely are. Okay. Every boat is a magnet for marine trades.
It would help. I think it would help us if we had that quantified. If you could do that, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Gwendolyn Tracy, I would like to reinforce the idea that the yard rate study that we did last year was pretty thorough, pretty in-depth. We asked to have that in place so it could be advertised in June to the fleet as they went out and could be part of discussion over the summer. It did include the elevator for the CPI. And the fact that it is now July and most of the folks out there are talking about whatever their yard rate is going to be, I think it might be prudent of the port at this time to maintain some calm and some clarity and increase the yard rate by the CPI and collect another year of data and see what the longer story is, because we know the boatyard is fuller. And I don't think we need to turn this into a roller coaster of rate. I mean, the port, unfortunately, has a reputation for, oh my goodness, and up again, down again, up again, down again. And the ability of the port to make calm decisions and start leveling out that reputation is very valuable long term. So I would like the commission to consider the CPI and more detailed analysis in the future.
Thank you. Going once, going twice. All done. Consent agenda. Everyone had a chance to look at that.
Yeah, I wanted to change, make a little change on minutes. And that was on number 5-7 on page 3, where it says Commissioner Putney made a motion for approval of the port to participate in the Seattle Boat Show, and then it said Tucker seconded the motion, and the motion passed 2-1, but it doesn't really say who voted how. Seconding the motion doesn't necessarily mean you vote for it, you need to start the discussion. And the discussion can then result in that person voting against it, so we should mention that who voted how, and I think that's the only thing I'd like to change in the minutes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Did you vote?
I did.
Two voters, okay.
All right, I'll, the minutes will reflect that Commissioners Tucker and Putney voted yay and Commissioner Hankey voted nay on that. Any other discussion on no? Consent agenda?
I don't know. I'll make a motion we pass the consent agenda. Has changed.
I'll second. I'll vote for it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, well, I know we can't make a change to the agenda, but...
Oh.
You're in big trouble.
Light my finger on fire.
You're going to light your thumb on fire. Thank you.
The trick is not to mind it hurting.
We're going
to
sing.
We're not going to sing.
We're not going to sing.
Not going to sing.
How about Frank? Will you sing for me, Frank?
Frank.
No.
No.
Choirs don't sing.
What are we paying the big bucks for?
All right. Well, everybody got a good wish? Everybody have a good wish for the port?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, there's cupcakes on the counter back there for everyone.
No.
On with a thrilling agenda. 2020 operating capital budget and development schedule.
So, commissioners, you see on page 7 of the packet, it's the draft 2020 operating and capital development schedule. There were no changes proposed last time, so this is the second reading. We've already gone through last meetings, and we've already had our group work session with the department managers, and now we are on the 25th. So if there's any changes you'd like made, otherwise you could vote to adopt, or if you have any questions.
I make a motion that we adopt it.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that's done. We'll get you to your birthday party yet.
Yeah.
Okay, yard rates. Any discussion on that?
Commissioner, seasonal rates, again, this is a first touch. This is some work provided by TJ. I want to be clear that these financials are not, the port is losing money. Never said that. We said that it's the differential between 17 and 18. And so 17 wasn't a bang up year, and we're below $26,000 than we were that year. So that's all of that stating. It's not saying that the port's not doing well, we're not paying operational bills. But part of our goal, at least part of my goal, is to build net operating revenue. So there needs to be a balance between being the cheapest there is and being fair. We saw it with Everett. A lot of this study, I talked to TJ at some length today, was based on the Everett model. Everett did that model for 35 cents for 2 months and realized it was a mistake and went to 50 cents. So if we stay at 35, which
you certainly can do, we will be the cheapest of the same ports and marinas that were done last year. So more discussion. I'm planning on getting together with the task force and showing my findings, go through the same formula, and bring this back to you.
So this is the first reading, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So no motion, no action.
So are we cheapest by a wide margin? Are we cheapest by?
Well, look at yours. Just comparison.
Yeah.
Page
11.
So my comments are that, you know, obviously we don't want to get sideways with trades. So we're going to work hand in hand with you and talk about this. I did go look at the study today, kind of thumb through it again, just kind of remind myself what it was. It's a great piece, by the way. Thank you all for what you did.
Which study? The
brief trades rate study.
The rate study.
Not the economic development, but the rate study. You know, the one thing that it doesn't talk about, and I'm not saying that I'm for or against raise going up to 45 or whatever, but it doesn't talk about how we respond to other ports in the area. And I'm also not saying that I think we should respond to other ports. It's bad business to kind of always follow the other people. You know, either set your rate, stick with it, and go with that, or know why you're sticking with that rate or not. So I get it. I'm a little, you know, I was thinking of you, Bertram, with the power thing, and I don't quite know how to address that because it is expensive and it has gone up quite a bit, what we're paying out for power. And so, I think we should talk about power a little bit because it seems like that's certainly the biggest down number that we have here, the biggest parentheses.
Biggest cost in that period.
Yeah, yeah. So, but more to come, and we'll all get together and talk. So yeah. We should all talk about this more.
I kind of agree with the not wanting to discharge. I think it was $15 for electrical. I have a little thing at home called a kilowatt. It's a inexpensive device I put in so that I can measure how much current something uses, and it'll tell me an annual, a monthly, whatever, however I want to look at it. Very inexpensive, and they make little exterior boxes that have locks on them. It's a clear thing that you can put an outlet in, so that, and then put a padlock on it, so that somebody can come and unplug your Christmas lights or something. And if you just bought a few of those and stuck them on there, you'd be able to charge exact rates. I mean, that would be an inexpensive way to do it.
$125.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have that 125 people hooked up to electricity?
We could.
And the other thing too is we don't have to decide this at the next meeting. I mean, we can talk about it again next meeting, and we can talk about it. I mean, just because this is first reading, we could do second reading twice, I'm assuming.
I think I heard from somebody that they wanted to have this out for the people that are up there fishing and rubbing elbows talking about where we're going to go this winter. Am I right?
2 months ago.
2 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we talked, Gwendolyn was saying that the people really were out there in June discussing what they're going to do in the winter.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we probably need to do it sooner than later. But I would like to see I'd like to see a discount, but I think that the times of the wild oscillations that I think you were referring to were long in the past. We had a lot of great things where they waited for a really long time and whoa, we got to catch up and the race went sky high. I'm sure Bertram remembers that well. And then they leveled off a while and they went really, I tried really hard to not do that in the 7 years that I've been here. And I think we've done well. We've tried to keep it going gradually, incrementally, so that people can budget. And I think that's what you're after, something like that. But I really don't think we need to be the cheapest in town. So I guess we'll take a look at it.
I mean, I agree that metering is probably the right way to go. Unfortunately, all of the commercial schemes to do metering are very expensive. The things like the kilowatt is fine, except that you can reset it.
If you have a padlock, I mean, a little plastic, like Sam thing, you can't get into it. What they had to keep the padlock.
Okay,
we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
Commissioners, may I just say, as far as the CPI goes, if we went to 3%, it raises it a penny. Just for perspective, it's good to have perspective.
But I do get it that the full yard is important. We don't want to end up where we were 3 years ago.
But, you know, I understand that. My concern is that not that we have a full yard, but that we have full shops. And, you know, I love the look of all the boats filling up the yard, and I know it's a psychological thing, but I'd much rather have full shops than a full yard.
But we also have to realize there's a balance here, because you can have a full yard easily, but maybe it'd be 2 cents a foot. You know, you gotta make sure that you're covering yourself, so.
And the full yard is not a psychological thing for the port, it's revenue. It's a price per foot, it's a unit per foot of revenue. Once that boat's parked, that land is making money for the port. If there's not a boat parked in that parking spot, there's no revenue to the port from that parking spot.
It's not making us.
As much as we love working on boats, the port needs the revenue. And nothing breeds success like success. So I think that's one of the pieces of the analysis that it would be interesting to have some data over time to evaluate how well that's working for the port's numbers as well.
I think that what staff has brought up is not that, you know, it's that having that rate doesn't bring boats to the yard, but that people decide they bring their boat here in the wintertime and they park it and they put a resistance heater in their boat and they leave for the winter. And the power is what kills us. It's not the rate that kills us.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll hammer this around a little bit.
Any more discussion on that topic?
Nope.
Regular business. The resolution to rescind resolution 698-19, the multi-year levy. We have some discussion on that. I have some thoughts, but I'll wait until people have their say.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. I'm sure you all got the email from John Collins. I don't think anyone in the audience heard about it, though. Basically, he mirrors exactly my thoughts that I've been talking about ever since we've been on this topic. And if you'll just excuse me, I'll just read it because it's very succinct. And I understand the Port Commission will be voting at its special commission meeting on Thursday, July 25th, on a motion to rescind an earlier motion that was approved by the commission, stating the commission's intent to enact a property tax under the IDD authority. I also understand the county has determined that the tax measure must now be on ballot following petitions with sufficient number of voter signatures, regardless whether the commission now rescinds their earlier intent to enact a tax at this time. I strongly urge you to pass the motion to rescind at this time. I think the facts are quite simple. In order for any local government to gain voter approval of a new additional property tax, a broad-based grassroots campaign must be conducted to both educate the electorate on the need for the tax and specifically how the tax will be used in both the short term and over the 20-year length of time the tax may remain. This grassroots campaign needs a sizable number of volunteers to engage the electorate on the issue, as well organized by either a paid organizer or a very able volunteer. This effort requires some not inconsiderable funding, which, you know, the port is prohibited from providing and thus must be raised by strong supporters in the community. This type of effort requires considerable lead time to build and execute the campaign. With 4 months to go before the November election, there is simply not sufficient time to generate this level campaign. The broader community that will be asked to vote on the tax measure has, at this point, very little information or understanding of port finances and thus the need for this additional tax revenue. There is in fact widespread skepticism in the county about government in general and the port in particular. For many, it is more than skepticism, but mistrust. The successful campaign years ago for a special bond issue for the Mountain View campus is a good example of what it takes to gain voter approval. The measure is only for voters in the Port Townsend School District, most of which is in the city of Port Townsend. The port faces a more skeptical, if not mistrustful, countywide electorate. I've heard the argument that there is very little downside to going ahead with the vote, even if the issue is not yet ripe for public understanding, approval, and that loss of the polls at this time does not negatively impact successive elections. Quite the contrary is true. A half-baked campaign at this time will allow the opponents of the tax increase to fully develop their message and their supporters, and will make the port appear to be a loser. So going back to the electorate for a second or third attempt becomes harder, not easier. So I strongly urge you not to expend your limited political capital with the electorate at this time with a half-baked campaign. Just publicly state the tax issue is not yet ripe enough to go to the electorate, and that the port will start now to build a base of community understanding of the issue and a chance for the public to weigh in on what the new tax revenue should be used for. The port can simply explain that the measure is on the November ballot due solely to a legal technicality, and that the vote in November will be meaningless. The proposal in the advisory committee would be a good way to start building that base of community involvement and support, leading to a vote in the future when the groundwork has been done. It will be hard to recruit volunteers from such a community advisory body if you go ahead now with the campaign for a November vote. So please back up and take the time to go to the electorate while prepared. Those are my thoughts exactly that I've been stating for a while.
Okay.
Okay, my turn. I've been the one that's been on the fence about this. And I've come to the conclusion that nothing has gotten the public's attention like this tax issue has. And the data, the information about how the port will spend the money and what the port's projects are out there for all to see. There's no secrets. It's not hidden. There's no other agenda. People can pick that up on our website and read it if they wanted to pick it up on their web, on the website and read it. My concern is that we have been messing around with this for four and change years. And, you know, it's not a secret that the port is strapped. It's not a secret that the port has a lot of projects, and a lot of them are very critical. The Point Hudson Jetty is one of those projects that I don't care, you know, whatever you think about where the port spends its money, but that's a project at the foot of Water Street that's kind of the diamond at the foot of Water Street. That's got to be done. There's things down in Quilcene that got to be done. We put off dredging for 5 years. People can't get their boats out of that marina. I'm really tired of sitting up here and beating my head against the wall and trying to work out budgets that are just marginal. There's nowhere to get the money unless we go back to the marine trades and go back to the mortgage tenants and say, we've got to bail ourselves out, you've got to pay the bill. I don't think that's reasonable. Those people are at market rate. Whatever else you think about this, whoever else thinks that the port doesn't need the money, thinks that the port is going to squander the money, go down and look at the Point Hudson Jetty at low tide. Try to get your boat out of the Quilcene Marina at low tide. This is. I understand that nobody wants to pay additional money in tax, but you got to understand too that
that public institutions need money to operate. The only operational funds that the port has are the monies that we charge users, and the little stipend, 2% of the county's property tax money goes to the port. For that, we returned $6 million. For that less than $2 million in property tax, we returned $6 million in property tax from the businesses and the port, and the businesses that the port operates. We bring 2,200 working, living wage jobs to this county. If we start raising the rates on marine trades, that's an end of that. And it's an end of this community. And it won't happen on my watch.
Bill, I agree with you 1,000%.
Great, then you'll be with me when we take the vote.
No, what I'm saying is that you're preaching to the choir. Everyone in here would vote for that resolution. Everyone in the county isn't in here. We need to let the rest of the county know exactly how you feel right this minute. You should go tell everybody in the community that exact speech.
There's a couple people in this room I think can help us in that effort.
But here's the problem, Bill, is that if we go there now, with you having not informed
if we go
the entire
there,
county, let me finish. If we go there now, with you having not informed the entire community of that, we're going to lose. Because the whole community doesn't even think about the port. They don't have any idea what we're up against. And so that's what the whole point of having a school bond type push, having a thing that John Collins just talked about, the big campaign that takes money and people and volunteers and hours and all that stuff, has to be done so that not just the choir knows about it, but so the whole community knows about it. If we vote now, we're going to lose because not everyone knows about it. And then we'll have a harder battle to go when we actually have the people on our side that have been out educating the community so that everyone really understands the problem. We've been doing a lot of work to get ourselves in a bright position. I've been working on this ever since I became a court commissioner, because I was told by a lot of people in the county that said, if you come to us for more taxes, we see how you're running the board, you're giving away mortgage to the marine trade or to the tenant, you're giving away, you know, you're not keeping your fiscal house in order. Well, we've been working really hard to get our fiscal house in order. We've got our leasing going well, we've got our rates are at market, and so all those things that they have rightly had a reason to accuse us of not being on top of, we're now on top of them. There's just a couple of things left, and that's going over our comprehensive scheme so that the public knows what it is. I mean, if somebody, I understand that you think that it's all there, but someone in Port Ludlow that doesn't know what the port does isn't going to take the time to go through all of our documents that comprise our comprehensive scheme and say, oh, here's one, and there's something over here they're going to do. We need to have that ready for them to understand and take that marketing analysis that the Marine Trades did, present that to the whole county so that we have a chance of winning. Right now, it's just a guaranteed loss. I don't want to have that guaranteed loss staring us in the face when we go out to the county and say, we need you to help us. Yeah. We didn't have that story.
And I get it. I think the percentages are against us. It's unlikely, given the track record for governments getting any kind of levy. John's example of the levy here in town, notwithstanding. It took, three tries? Has Chimicon got their school bond levy done? I don't think so. Did they?
No.
Yeah. No. Yes, they did. Finally, after three tries. We've got the track record of levy lid lifts and IDD property bonds in the state of Washington have not been famously successful. And you know, I think you're absolutely right. We're this thing may very well be defeated. But we can't wait 4 years. We can't try three more times. We've got work on this agenda today that needs to go forward. And we haven't got the money. We should be doing economic development in this county. And we're not doing it. We can't. The reason we're not doing it is because we don't have the marginal funds to make those investments. And I know everybody in this room agrees with me. Oh, okay, got it. Just checking. But you know, I think you know, hopefully a story on the in the paper is going to do more to educate the people than anything we can put on an 18 by 24 inch sign and punch around the county. I walked precincts. It's a miserable job, and it's not a lot of fun. It may be okay in District 1, but in District 2 and 3, it's there's a long way between doorsteps up there. If we're expecting people to walk from door to door and do a sales pitch, and that's the way we're going to get votes for this. It's that, you know, I think the way to do this is to make it something that people will talk about in coffee shops amongst themselves, and maybe the word will get out that, hey, all that stuff is on the website. Go look at the website. But I can't imagine the kind of organization it would take to raise the money to do all that stuff. I mean, I can take out an ad in the newspapers in November, and I'll pay for that out of my overly generous pork salary. But you know, I just don't see the groundswell of you know, support from the people that really should be supporting this.
Right, and that's exactly the point.
And that's exactly the point, is that if we don't get it now, how likely are we going to get it later? And why do we put off for something for a pig in the poke? We don't know what's going to happen in a year.
If we start this process right now, I've got some people that are going to benefit from this greatly, so they can't support it now because some of the things that they want to see done aren't done yet. Well, they'll be done.
Well, sorry, Charlie.
And we don't even if they were done, we wouldn't have enough time to educate the people that aren't informed. They don't even care. They don't have any idea that we're even over here talking about this stuff. So getting those people educated is primal too. And those people, to get them educated, we need the support of the ones that are waiting in the wings for some reason to see us do some work on the comprehensive scheme and the advisory committee and all that sort of stuff. We'll get everyone together working on this. We could have this for next November on the ballot, which is unfortunately a presidential election. We'd have a lot of voter turnout. That would be the time. Then we would have a chance of getting it done. We'd have some time to have perspective pieces in the paper, people going out doing campaign signs. I've got people said they volunteered to organize the thing, people that are well known and well versed in the community and doing this exact sort of thing, like the people that did the Levy Lidley for the library. There's people around that would do this, that have done it before.
How'd that go?
They know how to do it and have been successful. So that's all I have to say.
Good.
Okay.
You guys that are arm wrestling.
Resolution 704 to rescind resolution, or 704-19 to rescind 698-19.
Okay, so I move we approve resolution 704-19.
You gotta get a second.
Kind of what I figured would happen.
Yeah.
No second. The motion is dead. Item B.
Moving on.
Second quarter financials.
Valiant effort.
Right.
So, Commission, the second quarter financials before you, I think they pretty much speak for themselves. Our revenues were doing very well. Expenditures are down comparatively. Not as drastically when you compare to the prior year, but closer to budget, within $50,000 of budget. point is, I think some of what Commissioner Tucker was saying earlier, the port is heading in the right direction. I mean, we're starting to make money, and this is good. We need to bank money. We, you know, we've got so much work to do, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's very exciting to have the reporting bringing up in revenues, and we need to save money wherever we can because things are falling apart. So I think it's the help of the rates and the leases, as you mentioned, maximizing capacity wherever we can. And so far, we're looking good.
So the spreadsheet that TJ put together, I would like that correlated to your yard rates, yard operations 2018 to 2019, not tonight, but just give us a quick synopsis of how the two match up, because there is a little bit of confusion here. I mean, this looks like we're actually losing money in the yard 17-18 compared to 18-19.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because actually the reason it looks like it's a discrepancy is because that information is not the whole picture for the yard. That's the work yard.
Right.
So the whole yard financial statements include the shipyard, work yard, bilge water, blocking, tarps. There's a whole lot more to it than just those. But those are the key numbers for hoist. And I was looking at that, we were talking about that earlier, because you can see, just looking at 18-19 on the financial statements, if you look at the operations, you go, yeah, so 18, the workyard haulouts were much higher than 19. And that's reflected in the financials.
Where are you looking on that?
So
do
you
I have
look
that
here?
In my packet?
This, yeah, this is the operational. This is near the back of the packet.
It's one of these.
What page is there?
Is it this one?
Yes, is that one? I don't
it's
see.
In the back
is
of
it
the back.
On
it's
there?
In the back of the one of the other handouts.
Oh, it's
yeah,
the
it's
addition.
Not numbered, but
oh, it's this piece here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that in the packet, though?
It's added to the packet as
oh,
an extra.
Where there
they're there.
Out there?
Yeah,
okay.
They're there.
So
these extra ones.
Sorry, where?
It's these extra ones.
This piece?
Yes.
Yeah. And then in the back?
Yeah. The graph.
Right.
So the storage, the lay days are up comparatively.
Right.
And you can see that in the revenues and in this, you know, number of haulouts. And then you compare the hoist. The hoist is down comparatively, but the lay days are up.
Would it be possible for you to take all the rest of the stuff, blocking and the hoist, and take it out so that we can be comparing the monthly revenue for the discounted lay days somehow to the previous? I think it's probably what we already had close, but I'd like to understand how come we had more hoists but less revenue for more hoists, things like that.
Size of hoists.
Huh?
Size of
we didn't. Floor. We didn't have more revenue for less hoists. That was my point.
Less revenue for more hoists.
Yes. Yeah. So we had more hoists, 16 more hoists, and we had
that's
less
not what
revenue
I'm seeing here.
Because we hauled more 30-foot boats than 39-foot boats. We turned about a foot, so it's not relative. You know, a boat doesn't cost X. It's about a foot.
Not comparing 18 to 19. 18 has more hoists.
I agree.
Okay.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
But less revenue.
In 18. But the rates probably changed.
All right. Well, anyway, we can talk about that.
Okay.
That would really, that
all right, I'm ready now.
That's it for me.
So, yeah, any other? So I just want to be clear, what would you like to see? Would you like something graphic?
Just on what we talked about. So take the yard operations here, and we've got like about a 15% increase, 18 to 19.
Mm-hmm.
And then drill that down to what we're talking about here in terms of what this spreadsheet that is on page 10 that DJ put together is trying to show us.
So that's September through April.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's not 18 versus 19, so
right.
You've got to split years.
Right.
And do month to month somehow.
Okay.
And I'll call you. I'll call you.
Okay.
Okay.
And I guess I, on the same note, I think that we're making progress towards having a rational cash reserve. We had a really nice talk at the commissioner's seminar that we had about auditing and that sort of thing. And the suggestion was made that auditors really would like us to have something like 60 days or more expense available in cash. So if all the walls came tumbling down, that we could still survive as a board. And I think we've got substantial ways to get there, but we're making progress in that direction. So thank you to everyone that's worked hard to get us there. Item C, AIP authorizing resolution for the taxiway connector for the JCIA runway.
Commissioners, as you know, every time we do a airport improvement grant with the FAA, we need commissioner approval to apply for that grant. So this portion is the actual connector portion that connects the runway to the taxiway. So it's a separate resolution that we need for you to approve for us to apply for that funding.
Okay. And that's for the 90%?
90% of the D2 connector, which is the larger connector. We have talked to WASDOT today to apply for this, the extra 5%. So what Eric has outlined for you in here is the worst case scenario investments. The worst case scenarios would be on the hook for 10%, but we're pretty sure the state's going to fund it. We're looking at about a $13,000 profit match here.
I'll make a motion that we approve that.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, project updates.
So project updates, I'm going to put this on the agenda every meeting. And it's basically an opportunity to let you know in a nutshell where we are on the major projects and have you ask any questions you might have for us to either answer or research. As you know, the two big projects we have are the airport and Point Hudson. Both of them are in permitting right now. The airport, we just finished the county permits. They're requiring us to do CEPA, so we have to do a CEPA analysis, but it should be a fairly easy process for the airport runway project. The Point Hudson Jetty continues to be a challenge just because National Marine Fisheries is considering anything we do to that is expanding the footprint of the jetty, because we can't drive piles through those piles. Those are great pictures. We have to go on the outside of those piles. So in doing that, we're going to widen the structure by 2.1 feet, and National Marine Fisheries is not too happy with that. So we're still working through those issues. There's no resolution yet, but we will need to do some mitigation, and we're thinking that the only mitigation that we have that we can do is Quincy Street Dock. So Quincy Street Dock may have to go away for all those piles for mitigation purposes. So more to follow there.
So before we go off of that, I was thinking about that at the conference, and this seems to be getting away from it. I remember that we had a lot of, we did the bids for the Unity Combi Wall, and they came in too high, and so we started over, and we decided to start over with redoing what we already have there, which is what I kind of wanted to do in the first place, and that had a lot of community support. Well, my idea, or my thoughts at the time, were that starting over, redoing what we had there, was going to be less expensive. Are we less expensive now, or are we more expensive?
I think we're going to be right about the same.
Excuse me, could you repeat that?
It's going to be about the same fair amount of money as the Combi Wall. You know, the issue is, I had a meeting at the city the other day, and Thayer Street went from $200,000 to $400,000 in a year and a half.
What did?
Thayer Street improvement over here. It's next to the dive shop. What I'm trying to say is marine construction is going up 17 to 20% a year. And when we were talking back then, we were talking 2 years ago, and now it's only 30% more. So, and then when you get National Marine Fisheries making arbitrary decisions that we need to mitigate, we could spend, $200,000 removing Quincy Street. It'd be a condition to the permit. Nothing we can do. So we looked at repair options, but I kept hearing longevity. Nobody wanted to spend $1 million and have 2 years from now to redo it. So what we've designed for you is a breakwater system that'll last for the next 30 years.
Well, I was trying to remember the conversations, and I actually went through all, I spent an interesting morning going through all the old agendas and minutes, finding where we had that meeting where we talked to Shane, and then listening to the meeting with Shane, and it was really interesting. If you want to find it, and I suggest you do, because I spent a lot of time looking for it, go to the archives on the port website, the audit to the audio minutes, go to December 22nd, 2014 workshop. Are you writing this down, Bill?
Yeah.
December 22nd, 2014 workshop. Skip the first 50 minutes because that's talking about wave reflection and yada yada yada. And then we get into a discussion about various options of construction, what types you can get and the costs. And it was really interesting. It's about a half an hour listen. And some of the things that were in there, because this is 5 years ago, remember, this is 2014. So some of the things that they were predicting would happen in the next 5 years have not happened. They said, well, you're going to have some catastrophic failures. Have to put money away for. If you have a big storm, like a big monster storm, it's going to have a failure, it's going to fall apart. Well, I've got a video in my phone of a huge storm we had last winter with a giant log battering the crap out of it. And I can put it up on the screens if you'd like to see it, because it's really dramatic. The thing's still there. We haven't had to put any maintenance into it. It's still there. So there's some assumptions that were made that haven't proven out. And you'll hear me talking about this. I don't think either of you guys have this. This is a, you were going to the meetings, Andrew, I saw you're in the comments, and you were on the commission, but you weren't here. This came out the prior year before you became a commissioner. It's a report from MC Squared, which is an engineering firm that does work on breakwaters. And they suggested, very simply, and you'll hear this especially if you go back and listen, just driving piles in between the existing ones. I mean, it's an engineering firm. And then we had Shane tell us why that wouldn't work. And I kept stopping and think about it. And I thought, well, now here's this guy trying to sell us a new breakwater on one hand. And here's this engineering firm trying to tell us we can repair our old. It's kind of like a salesman selling you a new car and another used car sitting over here. And you're asking the new car salesman, well, would that used car work for me? Of course not. I want to sell you this new car. So I'm thinking that we might have some options. I mean, I realize that this is not going to sit with staff. We're trying to permit things, that we've already got going. But of course, just take a listen to that. Listen to the arguments. And I think that there's a way that we can do this inexpensively and quickly. Or at least, if not, do it, get an opinion from the people that wrote this initially as if this is still appropriate and applicable. And if it is, how much it would cost, and if it's not, why not? In other words, there's another option I think we can take a look at.
Are you going to give us a copy of that?
I can. I'll have a copy today.
We'll get you.
My concern about the direction that the jetty repair is taking is that I think we're going to be where we were last summer. Took a vote on whether or not to proceed with the jetty project, which is to say we're gonna sit here and say, do we have the money to do this? And I think the answer for me right now is that we've done better this year than we have in previous years, but we're not to the point where we can make a commitment for this kind of capital expenditure. I don't know where we even get bonded for that amount. And if we got it bonded, could we pay it back? I mean, that for me is the bottom line. So I've got to say, yeah, this is critically, this is critically important to the community. I think that we as a commission and we as a port fully understand that the critical nature of this facility, but it is probably beyond the port's capacity to undertake this task, and I don't know how much more staff time I would like to see spent on something if it's a dead end. If this is the end of this project, then we have to decide in a reasonable amount of time what we're going to do with Point Hudson, because leaving boats harbored there when the winter comes on is a liability risk to the port. You know, it is a very, very, very difficult thing to come to grips with.
Let's, could we get a analysis just of what our capacity is? If the breakwater is $6 million, how do we pay for that? I mean, can we pay for that? Mm-hmm. Just give us an analysis of what our current borrowing capacity is.
I think off the top of my head, it's a little over 5.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're at 6.
Yeah.
And then do we spend, you know, all that capacity on one project?
Yeah.
I think that's exactly the same conundrum we had last time, isn't it?
It's exactly the same conundrum we had last time.
Yeah. Yeah. But just get us you can do it.
Sure.
Boil it down to one page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Moving along.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, good.
That was it? Okay.
Okay. Staff comments. Legal?
Frank, you got a comment?
You still there?
Frank?
Wake up, Frank. He's sleeping. Okay. I guess that's a no. Silence is consent.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not figuring this out, but now that the commission has given direction, we will work with the county attorney to refine the ballot title for the upcoming election. And the challenge is to describe to the voters that it is taken over 20 years to a maximum $2.70. Take it over 20 years. So we'll work with the Rusty Attorney's Office to develop the ballot title.
Sounds like a good plan. Anything else?
No, nothing else.
Okay. Commissioner comments?
None.
I have nothing left to say. Next public workshop and regular meeting will be Wednesday, August 14th. Right here, 9 a.m. for the workshop and 1 p.m. for the Port Commission meeting. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Frank.